Good morning, folks. It's so wonderful to see you all. I think this thing needs some work. This week in the life of our nation, there was a lot of bad stuff that went on. And if we as the church, you know, people always say, oh, the church must. No, you're part of the church. You're actually part of the church. And ladies were discriminated against. We can't allow that to happen. I trust that you guys are in a place of prayer. And we shouldn't be only praying when things start to happen. We should actually be in front of things, praying before they happen. But I better hurry up because they time us and tell us how long we're allowed to preach. So we're going to start with the scripture that we started last week. It's Ephesians 4:12, but we're going to read verse 13. 4:12 is what Ruan was speaking about. It's about the fact that we want to be a group of people that equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. I started speaking on maturity last week. The last time I preached. And I said a few things about the fact that what spiritual growth is not. Hey, and as I went through this stuff this week, I was seriously challenged. Because God is calling us to maturity, and yet we want the difficult things and the funny little things that we want in our life to look into those things instead of looking to maturing and actually becoming a blessing in the life of the church. So the first one I said is spiritual growth is not measured by time. So in other words, it doesn't matter how long you've been serving God to come to a place of maturity. I always tell people you can't short circuit your walk with God, but you can speed it up. Spiritual growth is not related to knowledge. So it doesn't matter how much you know, but it is important to grow in your knowledge of God. But that's not the be-all and end-all, because the Pharisees knew everything, and yet they argued with the Son of God because they actually didn't know who he was. Spiritual growth is about gifting. It's not about gifting, it's about character. It's wonderful to have gifting, and we need gifting, but it's more important to have fruit. And fruit grows. It doesn't just come with a gift. It grows. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with temporal success. Okay, this is my main scripture for this morning. It's Matthew 13 and verse 18. And it's quite a long scripture, but I want you just to hang in there with me because it's about spiritual maturity, and maybe you've never heard it the way I'm going to share it this morning. So it says, listen then to the parable of the sower and what it means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. Obviously, I'm just going to jump in here. The seed is obviously the word of God. So settle as we're reading it. The seed, the word is the seed is the word of God. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word. Folk, you know what? These simple things are the things that rob you of your salvation. Because you end up, I speak to my leaders all the time, and they'll tell you, hey, that guy is not coming to come, that oak over there. And so people are on the slippery slope to losing their salvation. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So let's look at this now, and we try and get a new understanding. I'm not saying this is a thing of revelation, but I'm saying let's look at it in a different way. For you, the seed comes. This morning, Tian threw out a seed for finances. The first time that comes, it just falls on a hard path and a bird snatches it away. The next time you hear, it goes a little bit deeper. So it's not different soil, it's the same person with different depths of soil. And so then we see that deceitfulness and the cares of this world, they come. And so the seed goes in, and it's all exciting, and it's what we want to do, but after a short while, it dies. And then eventually, obviously, we get to the good soil. And so this morning, I actually heard, I think somebody spoke about, when we realize that we're not in a place where we're growing to a place of maturity, we actually need to plow the soil. We need to give the soil depth. And you know what? To come to a place of maturity with God is so easy. All you have to do is what He's calling you to do. You don't have to, and for me, I've got this expression. Is it a heaven or hell issue? Is it going to cause you to go to heaven or is it going to cause you to go to hell? Because often we get caught up in the non-issues. And I mean some of the big things that we count as important to ourselves. But God is calling us to maturity. So what does it mean to be mature? First word I want to put is enthusiastic. We need to be enthusiastic about our walk with God. Where's Penny? She's going to know what this is. Do you know what the word entheos means? Which is the root word of enthusiasm. It's nice to get one over Penny, eh? It means in God. The word enthusiasm comes from in God. How many of us have lost our enthusiasm for God? Oh no, it's too hot today. I must admit, I prefer the heat to the cold. Or it's too cold today. I love the heat. I really do. It's easier to get up. It's easier to do everything. But what does that word enthusiasm, it's got a whole lot of sentences that make it up. The first one is zeal for the house of the Lord. Are you enthusiastic about getting together on a Sunday and being excited for the Lord? Not looking for opportunities to not go. And I'm not talking about us checking on you. Donnie's away this morning. It was Angelique's birthday party. It's no big deal. We're happy for him to do that. And there are others that are not here. And I'm happy for them to be away. But Yeah. Zeal for God Himself. Zeal for God Himself. Have you got a zeal for God? Or have you lost it? Are you timing me, babe? Okay. What did I start on? 10:09. Zealousness towards God. This morning, the flags and all that stuff, for me, it's so lacquer. And then you get other people that get offended. I want to tell you, if you go and read the Bible, in the Old Testament, whenever the tribe or the nation of Israel went out to war, the people that played the musical instruments and the flags and all that stuff went out in front. And you know what? Israel most times didn't have to fight because the enemy would be routed and they'd go just because of that. God wants our worship. And He wants it more than just music and voices. God is so extravagant. Close your eyes. Can you imagine God at the beginning of time? And now He's going to create. Close your eyes, babe. And she's scared to close her eyes in front of me. So God is standing there. And He's got all these stars, which is like for us, imagine we've got glitter in our hand. I hope you can imagine this. Patty can imagine anything. I'm not so good at it. I see sentences, she sees pictures. And God just takes this glitter and He throws it out. And there's just this glitter everywhere, sparkling. Every star got its own name, its own number. That's the God we serve. Man, he so desires our worship. And worship doesn't mean running around, jumping around. Worship means your heart. It does also mean moving around in worship. When I first came to this church, I stood over there. I came in here where they were starting the meeting and they were going. And I thought, hey, how's this old bully like bouncing around here? It was Andrew. But really, he was like, I'm not saying you have to bounce around. It's your heart. Andrew's heart is coming out in his worship. Eagerness to help. How eager are you to help when the meeting is finished? That's enthusiasm. Like I've said to people before, what is the most important job in the church? It's what needs to be done right now. So if it's tea duty or coffee or whatever the case, I get a small little chance here. Tion and Lindy, they take most of the meeting over there. And everyone loves the worship and they don't like too much preaching. Zealousness towards God. I remember once I was teaching on maturity and I said, guys, you young guys, stand up. So I won't make the young guys stand up today because they knew you. But I said, okay, now get ready. We're going to dance. No, 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 no. You see, the problem is people have caught this wrong idea that as you mature, you mellow. As they get older, no, we don't have to do that anymore. We're too old for that. Well, I've got news for you. There's only two people in here that are older than me and married longer than me. My wife's very young, but she's not telling her age. All the guys here are having their 40th birthdays. Almost the same age as my oldest son. He's 34, I think. Is that right? Don't allow, and I'm telling you, it's the devil. Don't allow the devil to rob your enthusiasm. There's been scientific studies that if you're feeling down, the best thing you can do is to dance. You know that, I'm serious. Get moving and let's get going. I remember I went through a bad patch about 2 years ago, went into depression. Ooh, yes, pastors can go into depression. And Andrew preached a message. I don't even remember what the message is, but I remember what he said. He said, just get out of the bed and jump and begin to. And I started doing that. I'm telling you, I jumped my way out of depression. Let me tell you, depression's very ugly. If you've never had it, I pray that you never get it. It is terrible. So we need to be excited and enthusiastic, first of all, about God. I don't know if you guys, or if it was too long ago, saw the videos that Louis Gigolo did on the universe and stuff like that. Woo. I think I need to go and visit those things again because it's unbelievable. I remember the one thing when he was talking about the human body. He said, I get so scared because Corley is sitting in the front row. But apparently when you're born, you got this like network of, I don't know if it's veins or whatever, but say veins, so you know what it I'm trying to say. And they actually have to grow together. And they have to grow in the right place. And it's a lot of them. I want to say a million, but I'm not sure about that. And there's a lot of them, neurons. So I remember we used to go to conferences in Bloemfontein. There was about 6,000 people. You try and find somebody in 6,000 people, you got no chance. You got absolutely no chance unless you're phoning and moving in the right direction. But these things, say a million, they all find exactly the right thing. And if they don't, you'll actually have problems with your eyes. Yo. God is amazing. He really is amazing. And as we find out more about him and his word, it says he holds the sea in the palm of his hand, the whole world. He holds in the palm of his hand. How can people not love this God that I love? And as we discover him and find out what he's doing, we get encouraged to push on and come to a place of maturity, not because of all the gifts and what we can do and all those sorts of things. No, because of the love that God has for you. He sent his son. Another picture. I can imagine God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Because it says in the book of Genesis that they were together. You all know that, eh? First team. And so I can just imagine this thing. The Holy Spirit, it says that he was hovering over the sea. And then God turns to his son and he says, my boy, it's time to go. It's time to go down and rescue those people. Time to go and die on a cross so that they can have life. I can't help but be enthusiastic about that God. I remember when we planted the church in Nelspruit. We went up there. There were four of us. Let me tell you, four is not much, eh? And the problem was that the four of us that were trying to plant were all new in the community. So we didn't know people at the schools. We didn't know anyone. But because God had told us to go, and I tell you, I knew nothing about leading a church. I was a mechanical engineer. I knew nothing. Engineers are not normally good with people. So eventually I used to say to the guys, I've come up here to tighten the nuts and bolts in your head. No one laughed. Oh my goodness, I'm in trouble this morning. The church, we need to be enthusiastic about the church, about the people who are your brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be looking after one another. It's not only for those out there, but it's for this in here as well. I get so excited when there's a baby born, like my dear and Lawrence. My dear. But I get so excited because there's an opportunity for the church to actually take care of those people. Make meals. I remember when, if you're here for the first time today, if you aren't, just put up with me. When I had this triple bypass, actually sounds better if I say open heart surgery. But when they ripped my heart, my chest apart, I remember, what do I remember? I remember, I came home from hospital, so we had like 2 weeks of food for my problem. And then Patty got bitten by the dog and ended up in hospital. So we actually had meals for a month. We actually said to the people, please stop. Please stop. Don't you think that's fantastic that the church has to say, that the people have to say to the church, please stop. We've got too much now. Be enthusiastic about church. Be enthusiastic about what God is doing. Ruin was talking about what God is doing this morning. You know what success is? Success is to find what God is doing and throw yourself into it. Nothing else. Okay, Acts 2 and verse 42 to 47. You all know the scripture, but let's go to verse 44 where it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Yo, I tell you, you want people to leave the church, read that scripture. But you know what? Don't mess it up, because then people will run away. But actually, all these guys had come together for Passover, and the Holy Spirit, not Passover. What was it they came together for? When the Holy Spirit ascension. Pentecost, that's right. They came together for Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they all got, they were radically saved, the 120, and they poured out onto the road and the streets. And people were, they'd come from far, but they didn't want to go home because of what God was doing. And so there were those that lived in that area who sold their houses and property so that those people could stay longer. Don't you think that's amazing? I must tell Donnie he must sell his house and give it to me. You know what? We need to be a caring people. People that love people. If you don't love people, ask God to change your heart. You know what? I'm, believe it or not, I'm actually an introvert. I am, I'm an introvert. But I've determined in my heart, I will do what God wants me to do, and I know that means love people. And so as you do it more and more, step by step, as you move forward, you begin to love people. Because some people don't just have a natural love for people. Sometimes I'd rather just stay at home and watch the TV or something like that. But we need to be those that love people. What? How long?
Time's up.
Oof. Okay, we'll have to finish this next week. I've determined in my heart I'm not going to preach. You know what? When we go over 30 minutes, people lose what you're trying to say. That's the working behind this thing. They've worked out that people can sort of take in 30 minutes generally, and after that, it's actually a waste of time. So let me just, I'm going to quickly go through caring people, and then we finish. Strengthening the weak. Building up the sick. Seeking and bringing back those who don't know Jesus. Luke 19:10. Treating others gently and not harshly. Placing others' needs before our own. I just got to stop there. I said this week has been a difficult week for ladies. Guys, we can't brush that off. We got to pray. We got to seek the kingdom of God. We can't just, oh no, it's not affecting me, so I'm not worried. No, we need to pray. You need to pray. Every single one of you need to pray. If you can't, ask God to help you pray, but pray. I'm so glad to see Leon doing that during prayer today. See, now here comes the kicker. Immaturity leaves it to others. Maturity says, I'm going to do it. No matter what, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be immature and just leave it for others to do. Because when we leave it for others to do, it doesn't get done sometimes. Haven't you noticed that? That's not only in the church. That's everywhere. People are trying to do less. You walk in the toilet at all these shopping malls, hey, and you just smell smoke. Eh? I don't know if they've disabled the smoke detectors or whatever the case may be, but they're all taking a smoke break that they shouldn't be taking because they don't want to do the work that they're supposed to be doing. I wonder if you could stand, close our eyes. I am so encouraged about Corlia's testimony because God said to us that we'll be a church that will pray for people and cancer will be healed. I actually forgot it. Patsy reminded me. That is amazing. It's the thing that most people fear. They call it the big C. So I'm trusting Vaughan came up, he'll never ever touch cancer again.